Well, her life was a mere 25 years, but her saintly legacy continues. So what does it take to be holy? Like St. Gemma Galgani. All you need to do is read about her life from her own words. In a remarkable diary, this young saint, which her spiritual director ordered her to write, you will have an enthralling glimpse into her numerous encounters with Jesus crucified, Our Lady, even with her guardian angel. Sophia Institute Press is offering her diary, and joining me this morning to share more is Kristen Van Uden from Sophia Institute Press. Good morning, Kristen. Thanks so much for joining the Morning Blend today.
Good morning, Brenda. Thanks for having me back.
Well, what an amazing opportunity to read about the lives of the saint from the saint herself. Kind of tell our listeners first a little bit about the life of St. Gemma. You know, she died in 1903, really not that long ago when you think about the more than 2,000 years of the church.
Absolutely. St. Gemma Galgani is one of those contemporary saints who, although we have photographs of her, which is always amazing to me to see exactly what they looked like, I had not really known much about until I read her diary. And so, as you said, she lived quite a short life. She died at the age of 25 and lived out most of her life in the same small town in northern Italy. She was a mystic saint. So as you mentioned, she was graced with great visions throughout her life of Our Lord and Our Lady themselves, also her guardian angel, as you mentioned, and Saint Gabriel of Our Lady of Sorrows, who was at that time just a venerable and was a passionist monk from Italy as well. She also, of course, on the flip side, had visions and attacks from demons. So similarly to Padre Pio, where demons would literally attack him, same thing happened to Gemma. And this is why she's considered the patroness against temptations, because she described that all of these demons attacks, even escalating to physical attacks, pinching her, pulling her hair, pushing her off the bed. She always said that the worst thing that they ever did to her was to tempt her to sin, because sin obviously is the only way that we can be separated from God. And she had this very acute understanding of sin because she saw how much it wounded Jesus. So that's something that really comes through in her diary, is how quickly she is to accuse herself of sin and flee from it at all costs. And this, I think, is a very much needed message to readers today, because we tend to have more of a blasé attitude towards sin and, you know, commit the sin of presumption even about confession. And so St. Gemma really achieved that perfect contrition, which is constituted not just of a fear of hell or an intellectual understanding of sin, but also of a real sorrow for sin and how much they wound Jesus' heart. So she felt the call to be a passionist nun. She had gone on several retreats at the local convent, had been educated there, but unfortunately her health was so poor that she was denied entry. So she had to live out this mystic vocation in the world. And another reason she's patron against temptations is because her family was quite hostile to her mysticism. So her younger sister in particular would often harass Gemma throughout the day so that she couldn't even pray. And so she had all of these challenges and distractions, which is another very relatable aspect of her life. Finally, the last 3 years of her life, she was given the gift of the stigmata. So she had a temporary stigmata. It would occur from Thursday evening to coincide with the beginning of the Passion at the Agony of the Garden, all the way through Saturday morning. And it included the crown of thorns, and according to her letters, even gashes in her knees from where Christ had fallen on the road to Calvary. So at that point, she was welcomed home into the arms of Jesus at age 25. And as she wrote, she believed that at the gates of heaven, there would be the habit of a passionist nun waiting for her.
Oh. The idea of knowing that people that you love and the people that guide you await for you in heaven, what a consolation for St. Gemma that must be. Kristen, tell me a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, in the introduction, it says that she was ordered to write this down. Was she hesitant to share the story of the experiences she had, especially with the encounters with Christ and Our Lady, even her guardian angel?
She was a bit hesitant, and this is something that we see in a lot of the lives of the saints, especially Saint Therese is another good contemporary example, is that they think that their own words are unimportant because they have this solid humility. So she wasn't embarrassed so much to write it, but she just felt that, oh, why is this important? But luckily her spiritual director knew that it was important and that reading her in her own words would have great effects on souls. And so there's actually an interesting story as to what happened to this manuscript. So Gemma wrote the first half of it as an autobiography to kind of bring everyone up to speed, because she started writing at age 21. And then the second half of the book is more or less weekly diary entries from that point forward. And when the manuscript was completed, Gemma kept it in her drawer in her bedroom. And one day, a demon appeared to her, as happened usually to her. And he declared that he was going to steal this manuscript to prevent souls from gaining any graces from it. And he actually physically took the manuscript, and it was gone. And so Gemma told her spiritual director about this. He performed an exorcism over the book, even though it wasn't physically there. And right after he did that, it was returned to the drawer, completely singed through. So each page was burnt as if it had been individually held over a fire, but it was still legible. Every single word could still be read. And that's why we have it today.
Oh, well, a miracle indeed. It is the Diary of St. Gemma Galgani. It is available through Sophia Institute Press. Kristen Van Uden is joining me this morning from Sophia to tell us a little bit more about this wonderful saint. Kristen, we've all heard this. We've even tell our children this when they have a suffering or a pain. Well, just offer it up. But you don't exactly always know what that means. Offer what up to who? Well, in this book, St. Gemma actually talks about how your prayers and those sufferings are meant for the souls in purgatory. What did she have to say about that?
St. Gemma is really a perfect example of the axiom to offer it up, because she is considered a victim soul. So this is a person who spent their entire life suffering and then offering that suffering to Jesus to use to either convert sinners, aid the souls in purgatory to shorten their time there, and then it also, of course, purifies the person who is suffering. But she understood that all suffering, no matter how small, on this earth could have an effect to be united to the passion to save souls. And she embraced this opportunity so that in her writing, what comes through is really a love of suffering, which seems very, you know, much of a contradiction. But when we see through the eyes of the saints just how much of an effect our suffering can have when we unite it with Jesus, then we'll come to this understanding as well. She had one particular soul that she prayed for in purgatory, who was a certain Mother Maria Teresa of the local Passionist convent that Gemma was so connected to. And she had died several years. I'm not sure if she was ever alive at the same time as Gemma, but Jesus gave Gemma the duty to pray for this particular sister and mother. And so she would offer up her sufferings. And Gemma, even before she received the stigmata, had a lot, as we've said, of health issues. So she was going through immense physical suffering, as well as the humiliation emotionally that she endured from her family. And so when Mother Maria Teresa ascended from purgatory to heaven, she came to appear to Gemma to thank her, all clothed in white, for her great service to her at the moment that she went to heaven. So Gemma got to see firsthand the effects of her suffering and confirming, of course, she knew this was happening because God told her, but to see this confirmation of all of her effects of offering it up was really quite a beautiful moment for her.
Well, firsthand stories are what you're going to be able to read about when you purchase the Diary of St. Gemma Galgani. It is available through Sophia Institute Press. Kristen, how are people going to be able to order and get a copy for themselves?
So the best place is directly at our website, sophiainstitute.com.
Well, fantastic. It's an amazing account, again, written by the saint herself, and really a wonderful read for every young person and every adult. So, Kristen, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Take care.
And again, it is the Diary of St. Gemma Galgani that we've been talking about. It is out by Sophia Institute Press, and I will be sure to add the link that Kristen was just talking about. You're going to find that link on the podcast of this interview, materdeiradio.com, and the Hail Mary Media app.